All information presented here is based on historical record. You must draw your own conclusions as to the facts regarding this information. True Life nor its representatives makes any medical claims of the suitability of this technology or possible effects. Persons with medical problems are urged to consult a qualified healthcare practitioner. What follows is a story of a sensational therapy and what happened to it. In one of the blackest episodes in recorded history, this remarkable electronic therapy was sabotaged and buried by a ruthless group of men. It has reemerged in the underground medical alternative health world only since the mid-1980s. This is the story of Royal Raymond Rife and his fabulous discoveries and electronic instruments. Royal Raymond Rife was a brilliant scientist, born in 1888. After studying at Johns Hopkins, Rife developed technology which is still commonly used today in the fields of optics, electronics, radiochemistry, biochemistry, ballistics, and aviation. It is a fair statement that Rife practically developed bioelectric medicine himself. He received 14 major awards and honors and was given an honorary doctorate by the University of Heidelberg for his work. During the 66 years that Rife spent designing and building medical instruments, he worked for Zeiss Optics, the U.S. government, and several private benefactors. Most notable was millionaire Henry Timken of Timken Roller Bearing fame. Because Rife was self-educated in so many different fields, he intuitively looked for his answers in areas beyond the rigid scientific structure of his day. He had mastered so many different disciplines that he literally had at his intellectual disposal the skills and knowledge of an entire team of scientists and technicians from a number of different scientific fields. So whenever new technology was needed to perform a new task, Rife simply invented and then built it himself. Rife's inventions included a heterodyning ultraviolet microscope, a microdissector, and a micromanipulator. When you thoroughly understand Rife's achievements, you may well decide that he had the most gifted, versatile scientific mind in human history. By 1920, Rife had finished building the world's first virus microscope. By 1933, he had perfected that technology and had constructed the incredibly complex universal microscope, which had nearly 6,000 different parts and was capable of magnifying objects 60,000 times their normal size. With this incredible microscope, Rife became the first human being to actually see a live virus. And until quite recently, the universal microscope was the only one which was able to see viruses in their living state. Modern electron microscopes instantly kill everything beneath them, viewing only the mummified remains and debris. What the Rife microscope can see is the bustling activity of living viruses as they change form to accommodate changes in environment, replicate rapidly in response to carcinogens, and transform normal cells into tumor cells. Rife was thus able to see these otherwise invisible organisms and watch them actively invading tissue cultures. Rife's discovery enabled him to view organisms that no one else could see with ordinary microscopes. By this time, Rife was so far ahead of his colleagues of the 1930s that they could not comprehend what he was doing without actually traveling to San Diego to Rife's laboratory to look through his virus microscope for themselves. And many did exactly that. One was Virginia Livingston. She eventually moved from New Jersey to Rife's Point Loma, San Diego neighborhood and became a frequent visitor to his lab. Virginia Livingston is now often given the credit for identifying the organism which causes human cancer, beginning with research papers she began publishing in 1948. In fact, Royal Rife had identified the human cancer virus first in 1920. Rife then made over 20,000 unsuccessful attempts to transform normal cells into tumor cells. Note Rife's own words.
As far back as 1920, I conceived the idea and the possibility of when the causative agent of malignancy, so-called cancer, would be discovered and found and proven that it would be caused by a microorganism. Of course, reception that I received that far back from the medical profession and scientists was nil. But I kept at the work, and I succeeded in eventually isolating a virus.
Reif finally succeeded when he irradiated the cancer virus, passed it through a cell-catching ultrafine porcelain filter, and injected it into lab animals. Not content to prove this virus would cause one tumor, Reif then created 411 tumors in succession from the same culture. He documented everything with film, photographs, and meticulous records. Virginia Livingston, however, never mentioned Royal Reif in her papers. In fact, Reif seldom got credit for his monumental discoveries. He was a quiet, unassuming scientist, dedicated to expanding his discoveries rather than to ambition, fame, and glory. His distaste for medical politics left him at a disadvantage later, when powerful forces attacked him. Coupled with the influence of the pharmaceutical industry in purging his papers from medical journals, it is hardly surprising that few have heard of Royal Reif today. Meanwhile, debate raged between those who had seen viruses changing into different forms beneath Reif's microscopes and those who had not. Those who condemned without investigation, such as the influential Dr. Thomas Rivers, claimed these forms didn't exist. Because his microscope did not reveal them, Rivers argued, that there was no logical basis for belief in such a theory. The same argument is used today in evaluating many other alternative medical treatments. If there is no precedent, then it must not be valid. Nothing can convince a closed mind. Most had never actually looked through the San Diego microscope. Air travel in the 1930s was uncomfortable, primitive, and frankly rather risky. So the debate about the life cycle of viruses was resolved in favor of those who never saw it. Once again, even modern electron microscopes show frozen images, not the life cycle of viruses in process. Nevertheless, many scientists and doctors have since confirmed Reif's discovery of the cancer virus and its pleomorphic nature using dark field techniques and laboratory experiments. Reif ignored the debate, preferring to concentrate on refining his method of destroying these tiny killer viruses. He used the same principle to kill them, which made them visible. Resonance. By increasing the intensity of a frequency which resonated naturally with these microbes, Reif increased their natural oscillations until they distorted and disintegrated from structural stresses. Reif called this frequency the mortal oscillatory rate, or MOR, and it did no harm whatsoever to surrounding tissues. This principle can be illustrated by using an intense musical note to shatter a wine glass. The molecules of the glass are already oscillating at some harmonic of that musical note. They are in resonance with it. Because everything else has a different resonant frequency, nothing but the glass is destroyed. There are literally hundreds of trillions of different resonant frequencies, and every species of molecule has its very own. It took Reif many years, working 48 hours at a time, until he discovered the frequencies which specifically destroyed herpes, polio, spinal meningitis, tetanus, influenza, and an immense number of other dangerous disease organisms. In 1934, the University of Southern California appointed a special medical research committee to bring terminal cancer patients from Pasadena County Hospital to Reif's San Diego laboratory and clinic for treatment. The team included doctors and pathologists assigned to examine the patients, if still alive, after 90 days. After the 90 days of treatment, the committee concluded that 86.5% of the patients had been completely cured. The treatment was then adjusted, and the remaining 13.5% of the patients also responded within the next 4 weeks. The total recovery rate using Rife's technology was 100%. On November 20, 1931, 44 of the nation's most respected medical authorities honored Royal Rife with a banquet billed as the end to all disease at the Pasadena estate of Dr. Milbank Johnson. But by 1939, almost all of these distinguished doctors and scientists were denying that they had ever met Rife. What happened to make so many brilliant men have complete memory lapses? Rife had completely underestimated what would happen when news of his progress reached other ears. After all, what would happen if you had discovered a cure for just about everything? You're now about to find out. At first, a token attempt was made to buy out Rife. Morris Fishbein, who had acquired the entire stock of the American Medical Association by 1934, sent an attorney to Rife with an offer you can't refuse. Rife refused. We may never know the exact terms of this offer, but we do know the terms of the offer Fishbein made to Harry Hoxsey for control of his herbal cancer remedy. Fishbein's associates would receive all profits for 9 years, and Hoxsey would receive nothing. Then, if they were satisfied that it worked, Hoxsey would begin to receive 10% of the profits. Hoxsey decided that he would rather continue to make all the profits himself. When Hoxsey turned Fishbein down, Fishbein used his immensely powerful political connections to have Hoxsey arrested 125 times in a period of 16 months. The charges, based on practice without a license, were always thrown out of court. But the harassment drove Hoxsey insane. But Fishbein must have realized that this strategy would backfire with Rife. First, Rife could not be arrested like Hoxsey for practicing without a license. A trial on trumped-up charges would mean that testimony supporting Rife would be introduced by prominent medical authorities working with Rife. And the defense would undoubtedly take the opportunity to introduce evidence such as the 1934 medical study done with USC. The last thing in the world that the pharmaceutical industry wanted was a public trial about a painless therapy that cured 100% of the terminal cancer patients and cost nothing to use but a little electricity. It might give people the idea that they didn't need their drugs. And finally, Rife had spent decades accumulating meticulous evidence of his work, including film and stop-motion photographs. No, different tactics were needed. The first incident was the gradual pilfering of the components, photographs, film, and written records from Rife's lab. The culprit was never caught. Then, while Rife struggled to reproduce his missing data, in a day when photocopies and computers were not available, someone vandalized his precious virus microscope. Pieces of the 5,682 universal microscope were stolen. Earlier, an arson fire had destroyed the multi-million-dollar Burnett Lab in New Jersey, just as the scientists there were preparing to announce confirmation of Rife's work. But the final blow came later, when police illegally confiscated the remainder of Rife's 50 years of research. Then in 1939, agents of the family which controlled the drug industry assisted Philip Hoyland in a frivolous lawsuit against his own partners in the Beamray Corporation. This was the only company manufacturing Rife frequency instruments. Rife was not a partner. Hoyland lost, but his assisted legal assault had the desired effect. The company was bankrupted by legal expenses. And during the Great Depression, this meant that commercial production of Rife's frequency instruments ceased completely. What would a universal cure mean to hospitals and research foundations? Doctors who tried to defend Rife lost their foundation grants and hospital privileges. On the other hand, big money was spent ensuring that doctors who had seen Rife's therapy would forget what they saw. Almost no price was too much to suppress it. Remember that today treatment of a single cancer patient averages over $300,000. It's big business. Thus, Arthur Kendall, the director of the Northwestern School of Medicine who worked with Rife on the cancer virus, accepted almost $250,000 to suddenly retire in Mexico. That was an exorbitant amount of money in the Depression. Dr. George Dock, another prominent figure who collaborated with Rife, was silenced with an enormous grant along with the highest honors the American Medical Association could bestow. Between the carrots and the sticks, everyone except Dr. Couch and Dr. Milbank Johnson gave up Rife's work and went back to prescribing drugs. To finish the job, the medical journals, supported almost entirely by drug company revenues and controlled by the AMA, refused to publish any paper by anyone on Rife's therapy. Therefore, an entire generation of medical students graduated into practice without ever once hearing of Rife's breakthroughs in medicine. The inevitable conclusion reached by Rife was that his lifelong labor and discoveries had not only been ignored, but probably would be buried with him. In 1971, Royal Rife died from a combination of Valium and alcohol at the age of 83. Perhaps his continual exposure to his own Rife frequencies helped his body endure abuse for so many years. Fortunately, his death was not the end of his electronic therapy. A few humanitarian doctors and engineers have reconstructed his frequency instruments. A grassroots effort is now underway to revive this lost technology and demonstrate its ability to obliterate the microbes that cause disease. True Rife is founded on the principles of destroying microbes by means of resonant frequencies, the same principles discovered by Dr. Royal Rife in the 1920s, but lost to an entire generation. If you would like further information on acquiring this amazing technology, you can contact us at True Rife, area code 269-382-5820, or you can find us on the web at truerife.com. Thank you for listening, and have a nice day.